Well, as you've already heard, we're in Acts chapter 2 again this morning. Just as you're finding that in your Bibles, have a look at this first picture on the screen. This has got absolutely nothing to do with what I want to share with you from God's Word this morning, but I saw this on Facebook the other day, and it did make me chuckle. Normally we get panicky over one snowflake, don't we? I think this week we've had a bit more reason to be a bit put out by the snow. Steve, have you travelled up from Dorset this morning? Not this morning. But like yesterday or something. So you've done pretty well to be here, haven't you? So listen, local people, we have no excuse really, do we? But anyway, hopefully one day we'll get back to normal and normal activities will resume, and please Lord that the kids will be back in school soon. That'd be helpful. Okay, so Acts 2, 42-47, if you were here last week, you'll remember that we looked at this for part one of three, maybe four weeks in a row, where we're going to focus on these verses particularly to help us concentrate on who and what we're being as church at the moment. And that heading that you see on the screen there for today, Be a Devoted Church, today it's good to have people here from different congregations, different churches, and I want to say to all of us that these words are important for all of us, whether we are regular worshippers here or in God's church in other places. These words are important for all of us. So follow with me, please, in Acts chapter 2, some familiar verses, starting at verse 42. Let's read these together. Thinking of the early church then, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Father, help us to really get a hold of these words from you this morning, to get to grips with what it is you're saying to us through your word. That your word to your church, to us, Lord, is so vital for us to get to grips with. Not just for ourselves, but for those around us too. That, Lord, we as your church today may be described as those who are enjoying favour with all people. And, Lord, we will see you adding to your kingdom daily those who are being saved in Jesus' name. So, Father, speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So this word devoted, then, we're all devoted to something, aren't we? It'll be something that we set time and energy aside for. We'll be committed to a consistent following or pursuit of that thing. And we'll do our best to probably let everyone around us know why it's important to us. We'll concentrate on it fully. People around us might feel the same way, they might not, and maybe we'll even go as far as being described by others looking at our devotion as saying to us, that's the thing that really makes you who you are. But maybe others looking on just won't get it. You know, our sense of devotion just won't make sense to those around us. You know, for example, you all know that I have a certain degree of devotion to Formula One. If it was a more accessible sport, I'd be as devoted to it as Mike is to golf. And you might not all understand why I have this devotion to Formula One, but you know what? I don't care. It doesn't bother me a bit. It won't change my views at all. And some of you know that last weekend, I spent the whole day at the NEC at the Autosport International Motor Show. You might not understand why I would set that time aside, or why I felt so excited as I did queuing up to get the autograph of a now retired Formula One driver, or the 200 photos that I took, including of last season's F1 cars. You might not understand that, but I was there and I was excited. I certainly wouldn't have been at the NEC a few weeks before that, a little while ago, when there was a certain other show taking place, a show about buses. I wouldn't have been there then, but somebody else here was, weren't you, Joe? Because somehow, for some reason, there's a sense of devotion to that kind of thing. I don't get that, but, you know, it just illustrates the point, doesn't it? My friend Joe there, who's still going to talk to me at the end of the service, aren't you? You know, whilst we all may have these kind of different opinions about being devoted to something, you know, I hope that there's this one thing that we're all going to share in today, and that's our sense of devotion to God's church. But is that what those looking on at us would say of us, that we are devoted to being God's church? Is that what other people would say? Do other people see what we're doing, and do they get it? Do they understand it? Or are they looking on, feeling confused because simply they just don't understand what we're up to? Well, we need to think about what we're reading in these verses from Acts chapter 2 to be able to understand even what we're being asked there, and how do we answer those questions. Look, here we have this church, this first church, this early church, being empowered by God through the Holy Spirit to be a devoted church. And all of that commissioning and empowering that's come in the chapters leading up to where we're at now. And now we're getting down to the business of the church in these verses. This is the early church teaching us how to be excited about the very idea, the very reason for us being church together. And now they show us the example of their devotion to all of these things. They show us devotion to teaching and fellowship and communion and prayer and unity and care for each other and to worship of God. These are the things that this church is showing us that we need to be devoted to. First of all, let's just think briefly about this being devoted by empowering. This is just a quick recap. This is mostly of what we were looking at last week, but we need to hold it in mind to set everything else in its wider context. So we go back to Matthew 28, and we have the words of Jesus there, the commissioning words of Jesus to his disciples to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that Jesus has been teaching them. And we're back as well in Acts 1 verse 8, and here in Jesus says, "Say, you will receive my power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." Listen, it's not a maybe, it's not a definite, it's not conditional or anything like that. Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. We need to remember that. We need to remember that as our sense of rootedness, our sense of strength to be church in Jesus' name. It's not down to having a perfect pastor. It's just as well, isn't it? It's not down to having an awesome leadership team. It's not even down to having the right words on a page that describe who we are and what we're about as church. You know, those words are important and they're coming. They follow. But the starting point is that God has set things up to be like this. And it's God who has filled out all that's going to happen in the name of Jesus, all that he needs to be happening to make that commissioning and that empowering come to life and be real and vibrant and accessible to those around us. We can be devoted to being church because God has given us that mandate and the ability to do that. He's given us the power to do that. We can be devoted because of God's empowering. Hold on to that. That's an important starting point. And then to that, we need to think about how we are devoted by choice. We need to be devoted by making a choice. Nobody forced this early church to be the way that it was. Actually, the context that they were in, that was very much going on around them. The ruling authorities of the day laying down the law about how things had to be. But when we read last week, we touched in verse 14 last week how Peter stood up with the other disciples to explain what was going on. There was a clear choice being made there. Peter could have just fallen into line and been told what to do. But he made this clear choice. The disciples around him made that clear choice to show the world that they are the ones committed to living their lives for Jesus, doing all that they possibly could for him. They made a choice to live like that. There's a pastor of a huge church in Bradford. His name's Paul Scanlon. He's one of the pastors of the Abundant Life Church in Bradford. And he describes these words, these three words, at the beginning of verse 42, as the three most powerful words ever written about the early church. And all at the same time, they are the three most overlooked words. They devoted themselves the most powerful words and at the same time the most overlooked words. He explains to us that tied up in those three words, they devoted themselves, we have the very bedrock from which church grew and so God's kingdom advanced. He says that these words, they devoted themselves, are like the divine gene of the church that has people thriving on personal devotion to God, that gives energy and enthusiasm to live in the Christian life. They devoted themselves. You know, with that kind of devotion, there was no need for the leaders of the early church to nag or persuade or cajole people to getting involved with fulfilling the God-given mandate of church. People had chosen to devote themselves enough so that that didn't need to happen. You know, that all happens when we bring together our awareness of Holy Spirit empowering, and we bring that together with our own willingness to be church, our own choice to be involved, to be devoted, to being church in Jesus' name. And we'll be doing that not for our own glory, not so that we can impress each other and impress the world around us about who we are as people, but so that we can bring the glory of God into a living reality into people's lives. That we can enable people to see the glory of God through us in all that we are and all that we do, and so bring them to Jesus. You know, this isn't something that we can overlook, is it? We can't overlook this need to choose to be a devoted church and still then expect church to thrive. Making the choice to be devoted is for every one of us, not just a few of us. We need to be sure of our empowering and equipping to be church through the Holy Spirit. We need to let that be translated then into a definite choice to get on with doing the things that church need to be doing. Embracing empowering, making the definite choice, and then it's then, only when we get those two things lined up first, that we can come in closer to look at what this church was doing here in Acts. This was a church who were being devoted to community. Everything we have in these verses is about the church being the best example of all that it is that God wants to see within the covenant community of his people that we call church. That's about a group of people coming together based on a commitment of relationship with each other, and that's all shared because of their love for Jesus. And it's that love for Jesus that shapes every aspect of life. We know these things, don't we? We know all this. But let's have a look closely at the things that were going on in these verses. First of all, here we have a church that is devoted to learning. Look at verse 42. This learning church that we're focusing on, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You know, the apostles didn't teach in their own strength. You know, that would be a bit like me coming along and saying, well, you know, my authority to preach God's word to you is that I have this degree certificate from Spurgeon's College. But that would be a ridiculous thing to say. The apostles didn't teach in their own strength, but only through the power of the Holy Spirit that had first filled them. They would have known the Old Testament scriptures. They would have been able to ground their teaching in all of the truths of God from the first moment of creation. And to be an apostle, they meant that they had actually experienced the life of Jesus firsthand. So not only are they grounded in the authority of God's word, but they're grounded in their integrity of their witness and their experience of Jesus for themselves. And it's helpful to notice here, as well as we read through these few verses, it's helpful to notice where all this devotion to teaching took place. Just look at verse 46. The two places mentioned are the temple courts and in their homes. You know, it was as natural to meet together as the church in the temple courts as it was to be devoted to being a living disciple of Jesus at home. They didn't ask, shall I go to church or shall I be involved in a house group? They didn't look at that and think, well, one's optional, you know, I can do one or the other. They embraced both. You know, this devoted mindset of being a learning church was filled out with such a burning desire to learn more and more that every opportunity was taken to meet with other Christians, to learn and share faith together. Listen, we have no less need to be a learning church today than what we see going on here in Acts. As we devote ourselves to learning from the Bible about all that God intends for us to be as church, assured that we're empowered to do that through his Holy Spirit, it's then that we'll become a growing and thriving church. We've all got the potential for that here, haven't we? We've all got the potential to be this devoted learning church. We spend that time together on a Sunday morning in our various different congregations. We spend that time in our house groups, taking part in other activities. Be devoted to these kinds of things. You know, it's our responsibility as a church leadership team to enable that to happen for you well. We need to get to grips with our house group structure as a church. We need to make sure that our teaching goes on being as strong as it's ever been over the last 340, whatever it is, years, 6 years that church has been here. We need to be devoted to being a learning church. You know, secondly, we have here in these same verses the example of a church who were devoted to sharing fellowship with each other, for caring for each other around them. You know, whether we're looking at verse 42, and so we read the words, they devoted themselves to fellowship, or we read verse 45 and we read, they devoted themselves and gave to anyone who had need. The focus there is exactly the same, isn't it? Whichever one of these verses, it's the same focus. It's about lives being shared through the depth of relationship and togetherness. Care and love for each other being expressed in tangible ways, not just spoken about, not just prayed about, but actually demonstrated in tangible ways. And all of those things weren't an occasional little bit of effort now and then, once a year when we deliver our harvest parcels or whatever it is that we do. It wasn't just an occasional bit of effort, but this was a constant way of life. That's so much more evident, you know, for us in the, if we were to be reading this in the original Greek, if we were, any of us here were clever enough to do that, we're reading this in the original Greek verb tenses that are used here, it would be so much more evident than what we have written on our page in our Bibles, that this is a consistent, ongoing way of life. This wanting to be together that's referred to in the word fellowship, and the commitment made through selling possessions to make it possible to give to those who are in need. It was all a normal, natural, everyday part of life. Everyday part of this belonging together to this covenant community called church. We know how to be like that, don't we? We know how to care for each other. We know how to care for and look out for those around us. We know how to be together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We know how to support people in all kinds of different ways. But it's a thing we need to be devoted to be doing fully, not now and then, but all of the time. We need to be devoted to being a learning church. We need to be devoted to being a caring church. And thirdly, from these verses, we need to be devoted to worship. The words say they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts as well as in their homes. The formal structured traditional worship in the temple courts here, it sits right alongside the informal, the unstructured, the spontaneous kind of worship that we can all live. It filled out the whole of their lives. They did all of this as well with glad and sincere hearts. They were enjoying themselves. You know, we don't devote ourselves to something that we find uninterested or uninspiring, do we? You know, John Stott says this of worship. It's right for public worship to be dignified. It is unforgivable for it to be dull. It's unforgivable for our worshipping lives to be dull to those around us. You know, I wonder though, actually, whether this is the most enriching and also at the same time potentially the most divisive aspect of trying to be a devoted church. Between us, together as our regular congregation here, we bring together so many different traditions, so many experiences and ways of being church, so many preferences for the way that we will worship, the types of songs, the instruments used, whatever it might be. How is it then that we do all of that? How do we bring all of this together as a devoted, worshipping church without perpetuating that aspect of church life that has often been referred to as worship wars? Worship has the potential to be so divisive, doesn't it? But you know, if we get at the focus of our worship right, then it doesn't need to be like that. The focus of our worship is more important than its content. Just looking at the worship group to see whether I get any disagreements there. But it is, isn't it? The worship group is... The focus of our worship is more important than its content. That doesn't mean, though, that we should settle for half-hearted rubbish being delivered from the front or anything like that, does it? It doesn't mean that our worship needs to be half-hearted or just whatever we can be bothered with. But it's through our worship, the focus of our worship, that we are seeking to glorify the greatness of God. Not the perfection of our ability, but only ever the greatness of God. Glorifying the greatness of God. That's what I mean. The focus of our worship needs to be only ever about God. Devoted to learning, devoted to caring, devoted to being a worshipping church, worshipping God with integrity of heart and mind, and only ever in spirit and truth. So is that it then? If we get those three things right, have we made it? Have we done enough? Are we church? Let heaven come now, because this is the best expression it could be. Is that enough? Well, no, it isn't. If you read the whole of these verses, those three things, absolutely vital and fundamental to us being a devoted church. But there's another thing that we need to add here. It comes right at the end of verse 47. You know, had the church only ever been totally preoccupied with its learning and caring and worshipping, what some commentaries describe as the interior life of the church, had it only ever focused on those interior life of church things, then they would have presented a lopsided picture of the fullness of church that was meant to be. But it's in this last sentence of verse 47. These words have just gripped me again so much this week. They say here, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Listen, we need to be a church devoted to outreach or evangelism or whatever you want to call it there. We need to be a devoted church, devoted to outreach. So look at the sentence carefully. It's going to come up on the screen. The Lord added to their number. Sure enough, that happened through the witness of the church. But that was always and only ever as witnesses of Jesus, wasn't it? Not of themselves. We need to harness all the tools of church that we can, all the tools of outreach and mission, evangelism, whatever other relevant words you want to put in there. All the things that we can think about of connecting with people in relevant ways around us. But only ever. Doing that knowing that it's in the name of Jesus, that it's the Lord who working through us through the power of the Holy Spirit is adding to his church. And then let's keep going with that same sentence. It's the Lord who added to their number those who were being saved. Salvation and belonging to the church came to get together. This wasn't just like a random bunch of people somehow that were thrown together, but they were all being saved through faith in Christ. Christ had been presented to them. The name of Jesus had been preached and lived out as a living example in everything. And now here, the Lord is adding to the number daily those who are being saved in faith in Christ. No one living in isolation, but coming into this covenant community of people, of God's people, that they call church. And then lastly, notice this important bit. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I mentioned last week, I wonder how often it is that we're praying with the expectation in our prayers that this is going to be happening for us. The Lord adding to daily to the number of those who are saved, to the number of being brought into his kingdom. But listen to this comment on that statement about the daily thing. The early church's evangelism was not an occasional or sporadic activity. They did not organize quinquennial or decennial missions. That means every 5 or 10 years, just by the way. They didn't do it just now and then. Just as their worship was daily, so was their witness. Let me just read that sentence again. Just as their worship was daily, so was their witness. Praise and proclamation are both the natural overflow of hearts full of the Holy Spirit. And as that outreach was continuous, so continuously converts were being added. We need to recover this expectation of steady and uninterrupted church growth. Those are incredible words, especially, you know, that thought about recovering an expectation that this will be going on through God's church today. You know, so much of what I read about strategies to reverse church decline or all the things that you can follow to make sure your leadership team is intentionally mission-focused and so therefore because they are your church will as well. You know, so many things are being written about how to be church in a particular way, the latest thing that someone's latched onto, and so we'll get people writing about it endlessly. That's all helpful. That's all helpful. Only to a point, though, so much of it feels to me as though it's about that interior life of church again that I just mentioned. Listen, where is our expectation of that steady and uninterrupted growth in the kingdom of God? Where is that? Where has it gone? You know, it only comes through living a devoted life, being devoted to learning and caring and worshipping and doing all of that in ways that are relevant to those around us, in ways that are connecting with those around us. Not making it just about our own needs or even demands, if I dare say that. It's not just about our own needs and wants as gathered church already. But we need to be devoted to being relevant and reaching out to those around us. We need to regain that desire, that expectation of a steady and uninterrupted growth in the kingdom of God, don't we? And we can do that by being a courageously devoted church. See the article I read last week, and you're going to hear it again next week. We are going to be constantly asked by God to take steps of faith. There will never be a time to put the church on cruise control. There isn't an example in Scripture of God asking someone to do something easy or that made sense. With that in mind, all of us have 2012 just about in our rearview mirror, and 2013 is quickly becoming a reality. So, what steps of faith will you and your church take in 2013? What dreams will you dream? What prayers will you pray? And what vision will you cast that produces so much passion in people that your church becomes fully alive because it rallies around a cause that matters? God has never called the church to play defense. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. We are on the winning team. Jesus has promised to build his church and has raised you up for such a time as this to open up the offense and run up the score. So let's spend time in appreciation for 2012, but also in anticipation for 2013. There is nothing but opportunity in front of us. The world has never been more desperate for what Jesus has to offer, and we are God's church. So let's do this. That article, again, it speaks about opportunity. Where is all that opportunity resting? Where is all that Jesus had offered the world already resting, waiting to be released so it's visible and vibrant and attractive to people around us? It's all here in the church, isn't it? Jesus never said it would be easy, but he did promise that through the power of the Holy Spirit it would all be possible. I wonder if we have the confidence to believe that. We need to regain that confidence. We need to regain the confidence before God that because we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be God's church, we have all the ability that we're ever going to need to do that. We have the responsibility of being Christ's witnesses, but unless we believe that we can do that, and all because of the Holy Spirit, then we're never going to feel ready or capable to be fully in outreach mode, are we? We need to regain the confidence of our empowering, and we need to regain the confidence that as church we can be focused on reaching others for Christ. We need to cling to this clear understanding of what it means when we read the words, "they devoted themselves." Those three most powerful words, please don't let them be the three most overlooked words for our church as well. They devoted themselves. It means being eager to learn, constantly generous, living worship-filled lives all of the time, not just when everybody else is looking on a Sunday morning. Yet none of us are immune from the fact, are we, that the pressures and demands of life can so easily put a dent in our devotion without us even noticing it. It creeps up on us maybe, and then we suddenly notice and it's a big issue. Listen, we have a gospel to share with a world that at times must be looking on at the church and really not getting it, really not understanding why we're holding back. And so when we do try and reach out, when we do try and make that effort, it's so often met with so much opposition and confusion and suspicion and doubt because people just aren't used to it. Peter's example is one where those who were looking on, wondering, asking questions, coming up with their own assumptions, his example and the disciples with him is one about church being lived out, being prepared to make that stand. And when he did that, what happened? The Lord added to their number daily. Daily, those who were being saved. We are God's church. Let's do this. Let's have the confidence and commitment that we need to be a church that is totally and utterly devoted to Jesus. Devoted to Jesus, devoted to the Holy Spirit empowering that's ours. Devoted to each other, devoted to seeing people come to know Jesus. You know, if we're anything less than that today, then we need to urgently seek God. We need to be down on our knees in prayer, seeking God to regain, helping us to regain our confidence and our devotion to Him, to being Christ's witnesses without ever holding back. And when we do that, when we're able to be that fully devoted church community, God's people together, then maybe the Lord will see growth again in His kingdom as daily those who are being saved are added to His church. Amen. Lord, we need your help with this. We know about our Holy Spirit empowering. We know, Lord, that you have given us the strength and ability to be church constantly in your name. But Father, you know also that we feel that sense of being kind of dented and tainted by letting that devotion slip at times. Lord, as we hear the musicians playing in a moment a song that we're going to sing together, will you help us to bring ourselves to you again? Father, last week we sang a song in response to your word about, Lord, we long for you, that we long for you to move in power. And now we are going to sing these words together in a moment that say, the reason that I live is to worship you. Father, I want to ask that by your Spirit's power right now, as we begin to look at those words of the song on the screen, that Lord, by your Spirit's power, you will move in our hearts, that you will move in our lives, to bring together those words we've sung previously about how we long for you, how we desire to see a move of your power in our own lives and in this world around us. Lord, bring that together now with these words that we will sing about the reason that I live, Lord, is to worship you. And Father, help us to bring all of that together to this renewed rediscovering of our devotion to be your church in Jesus' name. Father, as we first of all just listen to the musicians playing, and as we do that and we look at the words on the screen, then Lord, help us to seek you for ourselves and come in confession where we need to do that, knowing, Lord, where we have let our devotion slip. And Lord, come into you thirsty, come into you hungry, and Lord, being fed and refreshed by your Holy Spirit to be those fully devoted people that you are longing for your church to be. Just listen to music, look at the words, we'll sing together in a moment. Lord, before we sing our final song, then we say again, come Holy Spirit, move in power amongst us. Father, I want to ask that those words that we have just sung there will really have been sung with absolute integrity of heart and mind. But Lord, we will worship you in spirit and in truth in all things as we let your light, the light of Jesus, shine upon us and shine through us. So that, Lord, in all things and at all times, we will be living as witnesses for you. That makes sense, that help people to get it, to get a hold of who you are, Lord. All of your grace and your mercy, all of your forgiveness and bringing together, reconciling power of your Holy Spirit, bringing hope and joy and peace into people's lives. Father, will you strengthen us as your church to do that? And Lord, now as we sing in this final song, that we know that all of our days are held together by you. Every waking moment, Lord, you are present with us by your Spirit. Father, help us to think of your grace and the blessing it is to know you through Jesus, our Lord. And let this be our response now, Lord, as we say, Lord, teach me, shape my life, fill me, and set me apart to serve you. Let's sing together.